Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. We have an outstanding program lined up for our listeners today, me and my good friend
Dave Colonen.
Dave, it's good to see you, my friend. We're really going to loosen up our troops today. We have some exciting subjects to review with them, and we're talking about Jesus and the things that he did that really changed the world. We have all kinds of dynamic speakers today saying, do this, don't do that. And did you ever wonder where they got their material? Well, what I'm finding out is they've gotten their material out of the Bible. All those individual development experts and the people who seem to be in the know of our the world we live in, how do they get their information? Well, I think they just have to read the Bible every day in order to get all those things. It's an uncertain world. You know, we have this little sign of the times right now. We have this Hurricane Harvey here that's hitting Texas real hard and the other Gulf Coast. You know, you hear those stories and you think, oh my goodness, is Mother Nature rough on us? Well, the truth is, the world we live in can be controversial and unknown, and we never know what's in store for us. The power that Jesus has over us is something that we don't fully understand. But if we study what he's recorded in the Bible, then perhaps it'll make more sense to us. And that's the things that I want to talk about today.
Let me start with the scripture.
Sure, go right ahead. Go ahead, do that.
Just what you're talking about, we have a lot of things happening in our nation. We have trouble in Texas, but we have trouble with the government. We have trouble with our president. Everybody is betraying him and disloyal. And, mm-hmm. Maybe that's what we're good at talking about today. The Jesus, he is never bitter when people betrayed him. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You want to have something mm-hmm. given to you by God. 1 Peter gives us that kind of information.
Very good.
What a one little six-line portion of scripture that could change the way we live in America if we would honor just one verse in God's Word. How's that for a start?
That is outstanding, David. You have obviously studied this material today. Jesus refused to be bitter when others were disloyal to him. And that's what you were talking about. Bitterness is more devastating than betrayal. You know, betrayal was the external event. But bitterness, that's kind of an internal happening. Betrayal is something that others do to you, where bitterness is something you do to yourself. And that's what I want to take a look at those two areas. Thousands survived betrayal easily, but very, very, very few can survive the currents of bitterness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubles you, and thereby many be defiled. I just read that out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. You see, there's a lot to be said right out of the Bible on these subjects. Disloyalty is a product of unthankful hearts. Betrayal is usually the child of jealousy. Everybody has experienced these tragic situations in their life. An unfaithful mate, an employee who slanders you behind your back, a boss who would fire you without explanation. These things hurt, and they hurt deeply. Well, you see, Jesus ate supper with his disciples. And as they sat, and they did eat, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." Mark chapter 14. When Jesus said Judas was the one who would betray him, he also saw something more important than the hurt and wounds of betrayal: the redemption of mankind. You read Mark chapter 14, and you will find what it says. It says something to the tune of, "You will see one of the most demoralizing and experiences that any human can experience." That was when Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. How about that for a good example of a betrayal? You know, yet Jesus refused to be bitter. Neither did he penalize Judas. Judas destroyed himself. Jesus did not disconnect from Peter, who denied him. Remember that story? Peter cried out for mercy and forgiveness and was restored from becoming a great preacher of the day of Pentecost. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away with you, with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4. We should eliminate any words of bitterness in our conversation. Do not remind others of your experience unless it is a teaching and to encourage them and to rise above their own hurts. Jesus saw the chapter beyond betrayals. He refused to be bitter. Jesus refused to be bitter when others were disloyal or betrayed him. This was one of his great secrets. David, I would imagine that you have had opportunities in your lifetime to be looking forward to overcoming bitterness and hostilities. Do you have any words for our listeners on that subject?
Hey, I'm a churchgoer. Yep. I'm not a pastor anymore, but I'm a preacher. Bitterness is rampant in the church world. I think we need to guard our bitterness. We need to not be frail when somebody betrays us. I want to ask you a question today.
Sure.
How frequently do you visit the pain of when somebody hurt you in the past?
Yeah.
You go there often, once a week, once a year, 10 years from now, you're still talking about it?
Unfortunately, I have to confess, that is a shortcoming of mine. My memory is too good. I remember those shortcomings of the past, hurtful things that happened to me. People did things or said things that was unkind, untrue, unjust,
so unnecessary. So what have you done to take care of that bitterness? What do you
I
do?
I do pray about it. And I wish that I could forget it. There's some things, yes, I have forgotten. But some of those major events that I still remember them.
Do you try to guard yourself every day from
all
of that?
I really do.
I think that's maybe where we are today. We're trying to help people who are filled with bitterness in their homes, as families that have members, children who have left the home and have gone out, and there's bitterness for years.
That's right.
Can't talk to mom and dad. They didn't get treated right. They didn't get enough money to go where they wanted to go. They didn't get to go to college like they wanted.
Yeah.
They wanted a new car and couldn't even buy a junker.
Yep.
Those things happen
and they're real.
They're a struggle. Yes. I mean, we have a granddaughter that went to Bible college this year.
Uh-huh.
And the whole family's driving nice cars, and she's 20 years old and doesn't have a car.
Yeah.
They gave her the oldest car in the family that always breaks down. And mm-hmm. she said, I want to go to school with a new car.
Yeah.
Everybody says, whoa.
What do you want? The money. Yeah, right.
Well, she finally went and got a lease situation where she could afford a monthly payment that was small enough, and she bought a brand new car.
How about that?
She was a new person.
Yeah.
And she could have gone to school with bitterness in her heart.
Yeah.
The whole family drives nice cars, and I'm here at school, and I don't have nothing to go with. No, she's got a brand new 2017.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
But she's,
but she did it on her own.
Yeah, well, yep, her dad took her down there and said, okay, here, let's look at the, some we can buy for a three-year lease. Mm-hmm. Well, there's other ways that you can do things. Yeah. Instead of getting bitterness, bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And learn how to guard against living for the next 5 years with bitterness in your heart.
Yeah, or feeling poorly. Now, that's just a major deal. It's not that I've never had anything quite that cruel, something that would be so detrimental to my life that I'd remember the negativity for on and on and on for years and years and years. But just little things that, maybe someone said something that was cruel that wasn't necessary or something like that. I just remember entirely too much. But those kind of things like you're talking about or sharing something that was so devastating that now a daughter no longer talks to her mother or a son no longer talks to their father because of disagreements of some sort. Boy, those are really hurtful, aren't they?
Hey, I have a brother.
Yes.
I haven't seen for 17 years.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And his wife won't let us into the family.
Yeah.
No phone calls, no letters.
Yeah.
Don't ever send us something in the mail. We'll send it back.
Yeah.
I mean, bitterness.
Yeah, my. Yeah.
I'm trying not to be bitter, but
yeah, it's hard.
I don't know if I am or not. I struggle to think that she probably won't even call when my brother passes away.
Oh my!
That would be tragic. That would be terrible.
Yes, it would.
And she's calls herself a Christian. She goes to church thinking that she's better than I am, and she's going to tell the preacher on me. And I'm an evangelist. Who? What's she going to tell him?
Yeah, I know.
When this all started, have him call me.
Yeah.
He never did.
Never did.
She never talked to him, I can tell you that.
Man.
But, you know, that's personal. I don't like to talk about that, especially on the radio.
Yeah, well, I know.
But we're into the subject. And then they say, well, Dave, you don't understand.
Yeah.
You're a preacher. You don't understand bitterness.
You know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's one thing that people can't claim about us. We are real people, just same as our listeners. We don't claim to be any better than anybody else.
That's right.
We live in a real world with real people around us, and that's what we're trying to do, encourage people to become better. And not that we're perfect. We're a long way from it. And we live with the same situations you do. Jesus networked with people of all kinds of backgrounds. And, you know, that was a super plus even in those times. But it is today. You see, greatness is everywhere. People have different contributions. I believe you need different kinds of input in your life. Someone needs what you possess. You need something that can contribute to yourself. You are the sum total of all of your experiences. And personalities differ. Each person around you contains a different body of knowledge. And it's up to you to drop your pail in the well and draw it out. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitudes of counselor, there is safety. I read that out of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. You see, look around those who are about you. A tax collector was around Jesus. A physician was around Jesus. A fisherman was around Jesus. A woman who had been possessed with seven devils was around Jesus. Some were poor, some were wealthy, some were very energetic, while some were passive. Some were explosive, like Peter, and others, like James, were logical. But be willing to listen to others. That's the point I'm trying to drive home here. Everyone sees through different eyes. They feel with a different heart. They hear through different ears. Someone knows something that you should know, and you will not discover it until you take the time to stop and hear them out. One piece of information can turn a failure into a success. Great decisions are produced of great thoughts. You see, Jesus networked. And that's what we have to learn as well. Jesus networked with people of all backgrounds. So I don't try to monopolize a conversation and say that my thought is the only thing that counts. Do you find such a thing as you're exposed to congregations and debates and issues? And how do you go about handling those things, Dave, when someone wants everything to be their way?
Well, Like this last Sunday, just that, what's that, 3 days ago?
Yeah.
I was closing the service because my pastor was away.
Uh-huh.
And when it was over and prayed the final prayer, a lot of people lined up to talk to me about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A man that came up to me and, you know how you handshake and they put money in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
A man put something in my hand, yeah, and I didn't look at it. I put it in my pocket. And I said, thank you. And I thought, what was he giving me money for? And he walked away. And a young couple came up and they said, we need help. We're homeless. We don't have any money. We don't have a car. We don't have any place to live. We're homeless. We don't know what to do. Can you help us? And I said, reached in my pocket and took out. And I said, here's, I just got this and I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not knowing what I was given.
Didn't even know what it was.
Right. What do you do with people who are in that situation? You got to go through benevolence in the church and see if they have help. And it was just a kind of a touchy little subject that I didn't want those people to walk away and say, that guy didn't have any sympathy for us. It was their first time in our church.
Yeah.
They're coming to see what we were all about. Well, we gave them a good dose of what Jesus would have done.
Yeah. Were they from your area?
They're from Carlisle. They're from right here in town.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's the beauty of being aware of what God can use you for.
That's exactly right.
I had no idea that I was going to get into that and that it would be something that, man, when they walked away from me, I said, well, Lord?
Yeah. If they were trying to get
easy
me,
come,
they,
easy,
it worked, yeah.
Easy come, easy go.
Yeah, right.
And I have a car, and I have a house to live in. I have, I'm married, and I have the goods to live with. And here these people don't have anything. Yeah, and I said, wow, it's just like down in Texas. How many people don't have anything today?
They have nothing.
And
they've
had
lost
everything.
It all.
They lost it all.
Lost it all. No matter if they had $5, if they had $5 million, they lost it all.
If you lived in a big house and the water came
it's
up,
gone.
You got.
It's
well,
right.
What about you that are listening to us today? What have you done with what you have?
Yeah.
How many people have come to your life and said, I need prayer, I need help, I need something. I'm hungry and have no food and it's dinner time.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, at least you could buy them dinner. I'd say this will take you to supper, and then you can.
That's something. That's right.
You gotta do
money
something.
Is meant to be distributed, not collected or stacked. That's right. And in fact, that's part of one of our programs coming up in the near future. I'm going to use that very sentence when we're talking about money and the value of it. And that's very important. And the older I get, the more important I realize it is. You did the right thing, Dave. It's a double-edged sword. You have to look at both sides. I belong to a church that's right along Route 11 here. And because it's close to proximity of all the traffic, people coming and going on a routine basis, we had a problem with people stopping several times a day saying, hey, I'm broke. I don't have any money for gasoline. I don't know where I'm going to stay tonight. And, I'd just love to have a bowl of soup. Can you help us out? And when that happens occasionally to you, we responded the way you did. And we do the best we can. And it happened on a routine basis. We took care of it. But it got to the point where it's happening 3 or 4 times a day.
Well, I had a church right on Main Street in Davenport, Iowa.
Did you? Oh, yeah.
How'd and we had many people come all day long.
All day long, yeah.
And
so you know what
finally,
I'm talking about.
Yeah. We got a fund where they didn't have to come and say, Pastor, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? I don't know what you want to do. Let's have a fund and let's have the ability to give them $25 at least.
Right.
Or something to start with, and we have a food pantry here, and we give them a bag of groceries. We had a lady that came to me, and she said, Pastor, all these people coming in our church. She said, God called me to speak to them, and everyone that comes to our church that wants something, you send them to me first because I'm going to preach to them. And she was a blessing to our church. You know, sometimes that'll keep people away from your church.
Yes, it does.
I got to hear the message first before they give me something.
Oh, my. You know what we had to do? Our solution was just exactly what you had just described here a moment ago until about 2 or 3 years back. And we had a fund, too, where we said, okay, here, Pastor. And they always, people come in, they always ask for the pastor. And here, you just give them this gift card so they go buy groceries or gasoline or something like that close by. But when it got to be that that wasn't enough, because those dollars disappeared every time we allocated, they went pretty quick.
Yep.
We had to institute a little program where they had to fill out an application, and then we'd have to take a look at the application and then make a decision what we could do for them. And you know what happened? About 90% of the people walked away after you handed them the application.
Well, the pastors of all the churches in Davenport,
yeah,
we got a list of the people's names, and every pastor got a list. Yeah. So when they'd come to the church, we'd look down the list to see
if their name was on there.
Because they, yeah, and as soon as you gave, then you called it in and said, we gave this.
Yes.
And so they just moved it. They'd go to 10 churches every day and pick up.
That's what they were doing here.
Yeah, yes, man. They were making a killing.
Yes, exactly. They were living in the fast
lane.
Well,
we gotta have compassion.
I know.
We can't be laughing about that.
I know. I know. Because there's the 10% that are sincere and needed it, like you're talking about helping out. We should be grateful that we're able to do that. It's just sometimes it's an awkward situation when we feel we're being taken advantage of.
We need to pray for these people.
Yes.
You know, I'm the kind of person, when we talk, and we don't ask the Lord to help us, That's
a mistake.
So,
okay,
all these people that are walking around town today trying to find $20 to eat, okay?
Yes. Let's pray for them.
Let's pray for them. Dear Lord, we realize that there are many people on earth that are different, extraordinary. We ask for wisdom here at WPFG. Give Briner and myself, we ask that you'd give us wisdom and the ability to recognize that who we spend time with is time invested in success. In Jesus' name, we rely on you today, Lord. You are our source, and you are the one who can minister to the one who's sitting there in their homes and is saying, those guys need to pray for me. Lord, we're praying for them. Touch them. Bring something to their mind and to their home today that will get their attention that there is a God that they can call upon, and he will minister to them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, my friend.
I had to do that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We got to pray for our friends.
That's exactly right. We should pray about every decision that we have to make. And I appreciate you doing that. Jesus resisted temptation. The temptation to do all these shortcomings that you were talking about is a major, major issue. And we need to look at what the Bible says about temptation. Temptation is the presence of evil. It is an opportunity to choose temporary pleasure rather than permanent gain. You will experience many seasons during your life. During your teen years, you may feel overwhelmed towards the lust and leaning towards immorality. In the business world, you might be tempted to distort the truth or cheat in your taxes or even pocket some extra cash for yourself. Unfaithful mates are epidemic. Billboards boldly declare their invitation to alcohol. Drugs are on every corner around this place. Cocaine appears to be an escape from the complexities of life. Satan is a master artist, let's face it. Jesus experienced a relentless and persistence. Adversary, the devil. It happened after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. His defense was quite simple. The written word of God. I encourage you to read the entire account in Matthew chapter 4. Those first 11 verses. The graveyard is full of people who failed to resist Satan. The prisons are overcrowded with people too weak to stand against him. Dreams crash daily on the rock of temptation. Move the ship of your life away from those rocks and find out how to live properly. One night of pleasure is not worth a lifetime of blindness. Fight back. Jesus did. Resist the temptations. David, we've exhausted our time, but I would imagine something like the temptation that this good old world we live in is something you're exposed to routinely. Do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners on the subject?
We've got to stand on the Word of God. When we're tempted, and we all are, when our strength is gone, the devil is hard to resist. So we got to pray in Jesus' name and keep our life up to par so that we can fight the enemy and win every time. Our time, it's gone, isn't it?
It's gone.
Oh, yes. Wow. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, my friend.
Here by Dave Colonin here. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye for now.